למצח מזמור לדוד בבואי אליו נוסן הנביא כאשר בו אל כאשר בו אל בשבע. The story we all know, David HaMelech, one day he goes up to the roof and he sees a girl across the street bathing. And her hair was uncovered. And he asked, who is this girl? And turns out she was a married woman. She was married to Uriah Hachiti. Who is Uriah Hachiti? Uriah Hachiti was a soldier. Okay, was he Jewish, not Jewish? Pashtus, was he a ger? It says Chiti, Ches. Katzti b'chayai mipnei b'nois Ches. Okay, Sarah Rivka said, Katzti b'chayai imlekeach. If Yitzhak would take a wife from Nois Ches, lovely chayim. Okay, there was an intense hatred for the people of Ches. And Uriah Hachiti was from, it seems, either was a descendant from that land.
His wife was
the Bas Yisrael. So some say that Uriah Hachiti was a regular Jew who just happened to live. There was not so uncommon. There were other people like this as well. They happened to live in different cities. Therefore, they were called Chet. Okay, there was very common. People Mir. You're a mirror. He lived in Mir, in the city Mir. Berlin. Okay, Berlin. There's no yeshiva. A Berliner. So doesn't mean you're a goy. Doesn't mean you're a goy. You're a Berliner. You're a Warsaw. Okay, my grandfather's name was Warshavchik, which means you were Warsaw. You're a Warsaw chick. You're a chick from Warsaw. You live in the city. You're a citizen of Warsaw. You're a citizen. Okay, you're a citizen. One second. You're a citizen of. Right, so it doesn't mean that you're a goy. It means that you're a Jew, a full-fledged Jew, and for whatever the reasons are, this is where you happen to settle and to live. But it does not mean that the person is in any way or shape or form is a non-Jew. So when it says that Uriah Hachiti, it does not mean that Uriah was a non-Jew. All it means that Uriah happened to be living in this city called, in this city.
There's not different shittus, is it?
There are many different. Some say there are many shittus. We have to go to Shmuel to learn it there. Okay, we'll see. But over here, Nosson, so David over here sees this woman. David sees this woman, and David takes this woman for himself.
Isn't there a backstory that's necessary at first?
What's the backstory?
David HaMelech says,
Test me. Yes, that's going to be all the Midrashim. All of the Midrashim are going to focus now. Okay, we'll come to all these things very soon. But just to get the basic, just to get off on a start, that David, he lives with this, he says, who is this woman? She's married to Yachiti. He says, bring her to me. And he lives with her. She gets pregnant right away. And then David realizes he has a big problem on his hands. He calls that Uriah should come back home and be with his wife, so that, a cover-up, so that when she will give birth to a child, everyone will say, oh, because Uriah came back home and he was with his wife, and that's why she is pregnant. Because if Uriah remains on the battlefield, does not come home, how in the world did this woman become pregnant? And when they'll make an investigation, it may lead to David, and he'll be in trouble. So therefore, by having Uriah come back from the battle and being with his wife, that will deflect any suspicion from David. Uriah comes back and he says, and Uriah says to David, David, what do you call me back for? I want to go back to the battlefield. I don't want to be here. I want to go where the action is. I want to be with my master, Yoav. Yoav is much more charismatic than you. Yoav is better than you. Yoav goes, you sit home. He goes to the battle. Yoav should be the king, not you. Okay, he spoke to him with a lack of derech eretz, which would seem to indicate that it wasn't something new. You have to assume that Uriah b'chlal from day one was a mechutzef, and the way he spoke to David on this day wasn't the first time that he spoke to David. David just let him get away with it, and now that David had a scandal on his hands, he had a major scandal, and David wanted to cover up the scandal, which today is scandalous to do something like that. So Uri said, I'm not going home to my wife, I'm going back to the battlefield. So they're, okay, fine, go back to the battlefield. And he sent a message to Yoav, the general, make sure you put this person on the front lines. Make sure you put him in so much, give him action and make sure he gets killed in battle. And Kachava, he was killed in battle. And when he was killed in battle, David went, oh, the Almana, who's going to marry the Almana? I'll marry her. And they had a baby, and the baby died. The baby died right away. The baby died right away. Chazal, the Midrash, and say if that baby would have lived, that baby would have been Melech HaMashiach. That baby was so pure, was so good. That baby could have brought Mashiach. But because David took Bathsheba prematurely, and he brought this child into the world through a matziv of chait, of not acting on his madrega correctly, that's why the child cannot be Mashiach. Sorry, yeah?
I don't understand. Could have been Mashiach, but when Israel lived together, were at their peak.
So obviously, they were not at their peak. Obviously, this is just one little piece of the puzzle. Obviously, if the whole Klal Yisrael was really doing what they should be doing, then David would not have sinned. Lev Melachim B'yad Hashem. Obviously, the people, the behavior of the people influences one another, and influences the king as well. Look at Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu was the last king of Klal Yisrael at the time of the Korban Bayis Rishon. Yirmiyah told Tzidkiyahu, surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. No one's going to die, and you'll be able to live here in Eretz Yisrael, and you'll live happily ever after, and whatever will be, but I'm telling you, in the name of Hashem, Hashem wants you to surrender. So Tzidkiyahu says, I can't. Public pressure. I took a poll, and the polls tell me that 99% of the population does not want to surrender. So I can't go against the will of the people, even though Hashem wants otherwise. This is a very great nisayon. So greatness sign is the pressure. You know something is correct, and you're under incredible pressure from society that are not behaving the way they should. And this is life. This has been going on since the creation. David over here, obviously, his behavior to a degree has to be a reflection of the people themselves. It works two ways. The king obviously is independent. He has bechir chavshes. It's his goal to have influence upon Klal Yisrael to make the right decisions. But mitzad sheni, if society is corrupt, it affects the leader. The leader becomes influenced to go in these ways. You listen to some of the, every time they have a candidate, a new political candidate for some position, he presents his platform, his promises. And you listen then to some old clips, recordings of this very same person from 20 years ago, he says just the opposite. Literally 180 degrees the opposite. So what's the pshat? The pshat is a politician, 20 years ago, the people wanted A, and now the people want B. And this person, he wants the covet. He wants the covet, he wants the power, he wants to be in a position where he's able to use his political office for his own self-interest. So he'll do whatever the people want. He himself has absolutely no values. This is, they say, it's very, very common with actors and actresses in Hollywood. Some of the most famous popular actors are the most shallow people in the world. Their only existence is making believe they're someone else in a movie. They take on a role. There's a screenwriter. And whatever the screen, there's a puppet, mamish a puppet. And whatever the screenwriter writes, the script, that's who they are. They completely mold into that role. And then when the movie is over, you talk to them in the street, they're nobody. They have zero identity. They have zero beliefs in anything. They're a total, total nobody. And when they get another job, oh, they become a new person. They'll become a villain, they'll become a hero, they'll become whatever the screenwriter says they should be, that's who they're going to be, but they have on their own absolutely no role. Every politician is like that to a degree. And unfortunately, even the Jewish politicians, even people in Tanakh, it's also to a certain degree, there is something like that. that the lay, that the people of Klal Yisrael get a leader that they deserve. They deserve.
It's a general
rule. A general rule.
If you get the government you deserve.
You get the government that you deserve. David HaMelech, you cannot say that David HaMelech, everything that he did was purely as an independent citizen. David is the Melech. If in Klal Yisrael there are problems, those problems affect the neshama of their leader. Because the Melech is the collective neshama of Klal Yisrael. And if Klal Yisrael is having issues, it's going to affect the leader. And it's the role of the leader to overcome that, and Adaraba to influence Klal Yisrael to be better. It's like a battle. It's a battle between the people in Klal Yisrael and their leader. The people in Klal Yisrael are affecting they're influencing the mind frame of their leader, and the leader is trying to influence the frame of mind of the people that he's leading. And who's stronger? Who has more willpower? Who has more conviction? Who's going to be the winner? So you study history. Every single leader, whether it's Jewish or not Jewish, this is a continuous battle in this world. And that's over here. So Rav Mechol made a very good point that David HaMelech, he gave birth to Mashiach. David HaMelech gave birth. He took Bathsheba prematurely. She became pregnant. The baby died, I think it's 10 days. The baby died 10 days after it was born. And David mourned over this baby. And Chazal tell us the baby that was born from this union of David and Bathsheba would have been, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Melech HaMashiach. And the reason why this tragedy happened, that this child died, this holy neshama died, is because David took Bathsheba in a non-proper way. How could it possibly be that now if you're dealing with Mashiach, you're not just dealing with a private citizen, David HaMelech, you're dealing with the entire Klal Yisrael. How could the Mashiach die because of a single person? The answer is, David's actions, David's behavior is not totally his. If you represent a community, a Klal, you are influenced. You're influenced. That's why you see that.
I don't want to say it, but the Gemara says that a mamzer doesn't live more than a
year. He said it wasn't a mamzer. Okay, we're going to have to go over Yisrael in a sec. Before we get there, I wanted to bring out this point. I'm not into Hasidus, but if you go into the Busfarm store, there are literally mounds and mounds, libraries of books on Hasidus. And what does it say in those books? What is Hasidus? What is this all about? You want to go learn Daf Gemara? You learn Mishnayos, Gemara, Medrash, Tanakh. They have these books on the philosophy of Hasidus. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, he published the book. Carmi, I think Carmi helped write a good part of it. No, Carmi is? Shalom Carmi. Shalom Carmi. He published a very impressive book on the philosophy. What is this ideology of Hasidus? And one of the Yesoides is a very deep concept. Is if Hasidim believe in their Rebbe, you really believe in their Rebbe for real, not make believe, for real, automatically the Rebbe has powers that are superhuman. If everyone in Klal Yisrael believes in one person, that person can do a moifes, can do miracles. The koyach of a Rebbe, you hear about Rebbes, they mamish, they have ruach hakodesh, they do miracles. You hear about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I mean, you can't deny these stories. These stories are just like this is not from this world. What so where did the Lubavitcher Rebbe get koyach to do miracles? Where did he get koyach? The Lubavitcher Rebbe was originally an electrical engineer. He came to America. He was a genius. There are a lot of geniuses out there. And Mordechai is a genius. There are a lot of geniuses out there. So, on your mark. There are a lot of geniuses out there. He was a tremendous genius, a tremendous Yerei Shemayim. He came to America. He had no parnasa. He had no parnasa. In those days, the government didn't print money. Okay? You had no parnasa, you starved to death. He got a job working in the piers, working on ships. He was the Navy Yard. He was an electrical engineer. He had a degree in engineering, electrical engineering. And he worked on some of these big, massive ships, designing and working on the electrical power of ships in a job. And then the day came, Ahi Hayoim, the day came, his Shver passed away, Gansa Maisa, go read the whole history. He became the Rebbe, and he went on to be one of the most powerful people in this world. And the amount of moivsim that he did, which are undeniable, are just bizarre. How does it happen, such as like that? You know, the answer is because when people believe in you, when you have people who are Yirei Shemayim, and you set up this Yisoid of Chassidus, it's a very, Litvaks don't go for this stuff. They don't like this stuff. They don't want it to happen even. They're afraid of this type of thing. But in the philosophy of Chassidus, if you believe in something, if a group of people will come together and will submit themselves to an individual, automatically in Shemayim, that person, because everyone is relying upon him, becomes a conduit between Hashem and the people who believe in him. And the Rav Shach is on record as saying, if I'm not mistaken, is the Rav Shach was not very happy with Lubavitch. We all know that. Okay, anyone knows all history? No chidushim over here. So this is what I heard. You got to check it out. They said to Rav Shach, how could you be critical? He's a Baal Moifes. So Rav Shach supposedly says, no, he's Taka Baal Moifes. I'm not denying about this. But that's not, the Moifsin, the Koyach, is not from him. It is because they believe in him. And he went to say that if everyone in this world will believe in a piece of wood, I'm going to take a piece of wood, and everyone is going to submit to the piece of wood, you know what? The piece of wood will do Moifsim also.
Will be what also?
Will do miracles.
You're suggesting idolatry.
It's getting
closer. Egel Hazav. The Egel Hazav would talk. Chazal say talk. Yeah. When you believe in something, this is a principle.
So
open up.
Mean, is it doing it, or our mind takes over for ourselves?
No, it does it for real. It's a matter of if you submit. This is a principle of Hasidus, and it's very dangerous because it really works. The reason why it's dangerous is because it really works, and if your leader. Look, I'm from the kin of people, I worship the Lubavitcher Rebbe, don't get me wrong. But you have to, and you listen, if you take anyone, if you take any person and you select him to be your leader and you totally submit to him, Hashem responds. If you are selecting this person to be your representative, he will be granted siyata d'shmaya.
It could also be for an individual situation.
What?
It doesn't have to be for a group situation. It could be for an individual.
Okay, but the more power, the more power, the more, if you have a chassidus of 100,000 people, and they all have a muna pshuta in one person, because he represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if this is what b'derech she'odim reitze leilech, sham meilichin oisai. If this is the way Klal Yisrael wants to put their emunah in. Now, if the person is a person who's a Yorei Shemayim, he is a tzaddik, he's a kodesh merechem, and then the combination of Klal Yisrael having emunah in him, and the person, the tool you have emunah in, is a kodesh, the results are earth shattering. Yanki, I have to talk to you later on. Yanki, I need a favor from you. After the show, I will talk to you. I need you to do something with me, okay? So but let's say chas v'shalom, the person who you have a muni in is not 100%, then it can be lethal. Because everyone is submitting to an entity, and that entity has an agenda. That is very dangerous.
So,
what? Shabbat Tzvi. This is a principle which we are not familiar with. And the truth is today it's very weak, because even though we see today there are Rebbes and they have Chassidim, the reason why the Rebbes today are not able to do Moivsim is because unfortunately the people don't really believe in the Rebbes today. I'm not joking. You think it's really nasty stuff over here? This is Chassidus. This is the ABCs of Chassidus. If everyone, even though you go to certain groups and you see the Chassidim, the Rebbe. This is nothing compared to the emunah that their great grandparents had for their Rebbe. The more you believe in your Rebbe, the more your Rebbe can be a channel, can be a conduit between Shamayim and this world. The less you believe in the Rebbe, then it's weak. The connection, the bandwidth, the bandwidth is not as intense. If the Rebbe is a tzaddik, a kodosh, a tohar, a yirei shamayim, then people naturally, it builds on itself. If you're starting with a person who is mamish pure, and the people, they're enamored by his tahara, and then they come together, and you create a momentum, then you know what the results are? The results are earth-shattering. But if the person that everyone is coming together to rally around, he's a great person. But he's not, he just doesn't, you know, he doesn't have what you would like, then the people, they don't have that intense emunah in him. So then the degree of him being a conduit of Kedusha to the people is not as intense. You need a combination of two things. You need people to really put their confidence into a person, to submit to that person, and that person has to be a very, very, extremely holy person. And then the results are earth-shattering. In the Litvisha world, they don't go for this. They're afraid of this. They're just plain, pashut afraid to submit to one person, to submit to one person, because no one really knows today what's under the hood of that person. No one really. It's not a derech. There's no such thing of chasidus in the Litvish world. Today we live in a different world where all the Litvaks are chasidim, all the chasidim are Litvaks. Today everything's a very big mishmash. These are principles. These are like very, very basic principles in chasidus. Go into a svarm store, you'll see a book, chasidus. They'll tell you all these different, these are very deep concepts. And they're extremely powerful concepts. And a melech is the ultimate chosid. So people can play. Rav Michal asked a question. Michal's question over here is, I said over, is that the David HaMelech, he had relations with Bathsheba, and she got pregnant right away.
She's not Jewish.
How can you say she's not Jewish? Of course she's Jewish. Of course she's Jewish.
She wasn't Jewish, there's no problem.
Of course she's Jewish. She was Jewish. Uriah Hachiti was Jewish. Okay, before you came, we discussed this. They were Jewish, without a shadow of a doubt. And David took Bathsheba prematurely. And she got pregnant. And she had a child. The child died 10 days after it was born. Chazal tell us that this child was the neshama of Melech HaMashiach. The world would have been a different place. So Rabbi Chol asked, question, how could it be that one person ruined, blew it for the whole Klal Yisrael? If Mashiach is not a melech thing, okay, that's the idea. That's what triggered. You triggered. Fine, I made it fine, but you triggered what you said. Triggered in me that I thought you were asking is that how could it be that a single Mashiach, the whole Klal Yisrael needs Mashiach. So David is the melech. So just because David made a mistake, the whole Klal Yisrael has to suffer. One person makes a mistake. Here, the neshama of Melech HaMashiach is coming to this world to save us. And David HaMelech, yes. It happens to be that he's going to be the one that's going to bring this neshama into this world. And David makes a mistake. He makes a little mistake. He took her prematurely. He should have waited until her husband died naturally. And then he would have married her. And then he would have brought that neshama into this world. The Mashiach would have come and we would be somewhere else today. Whatever that all it means. But because David was premature, he took it prematurely, so now there was a problem, and the child died after 10 days, and David mourned, and now there's a delay, there's a whole long process, whatever it is. Excuse me, that's not fair. One person can ruin it for the whole Klal Yisrael. So the answer is no. A melech is a representative of the entire Klal Yisrael. David made a mistake. It wasn't his chait, it was the chait of Klal Yisrael. Okay, there are 100 perushim what this statement means, and it wasn't David's chait. There was a terrible chait that happened here. Don't deny it. Don't deny to go take a woman who's married to another man, wherever you are, all the technicalities you'll wiggle out of what he did. The bottom line is, you don't go do this. You don't go take a woman whose husband, whether the husband gave her a get, didn't give her a get retroactively, a get. This woman is sitting at home. She's waiting for her husband to come home. Don't chap me. Don't confuse me with the facts. She's sitting there waiting for her husband to come home. She's worried, sick. Will he survive the day? And here comes David, takes her away and lives with her.
So what
in the voice? He gave a command. You're gonna tell me this is what you do? This is scandalous. Scandalous. I know today we live in a society where you can do, as long as the Department of Justice is on your team, you can do anything that you want, you get away with anything you want. We all know that. But anyone that knows what's going on, this is scale. So you're going to tell me that this is not a chait? You're going to say it's not a chait? How could Chazal say it's not a chait? What did Chazal say? Kol Omer David Chata. This wasn't David's chait. This was Klal Yisrael's chait. Lev Melachim, the heart of a melech, if you represent people, your people, they have influence on you, and you have an influence on them. When you take a position of leadership and people rely upon you, they look up to you, there's a bond. It's a two-way bond. What you do affects them and what they do affects you. And there's an awesome responsibility when you're in a position of leadership not to damage those that you are leading. Okay, you have a Rebbe who teaches children Torah. The children rely upon the Rebbe. The children look up to the Rebbe. It's not just what the Rebbe says in the Shir. It's who the Rebbe is. If the Rebbe is a holy person, and it's there's something that you can't. It's not tangible. It's not. It is a hashpah that you can't define physically. Is that if this is the Rebbe and the students, the Talmidim in the class. Every morning they wake up, oh, I got to go to school today, oh, my Rebbe, and you look, and they look at that Rebbe, and they realize that their success is dependent on that, then there is a natural shefa between the Talmidim and the Rebbe, and if Chas V'Shalom, the Rebbe, is not holding where he should be, he's doing things behind closed doors that are not proper, that can have a spiritually damaging effect on the students that's not discernible physically, but go check on what happened, go look down the line 100 years from now and see who so we can see. They say that the sandik, there's a bond, there is a spiritual bond between the sandik and the baby. And very often you someone once told me that this certain person he had all the people that he gave Santa Claus to, he says it's amazing how the children they to a degree their mahalach in life all corresponded to who the Santa was. This one he gave it to a certain balabas, whatever reason was. So that child was well, it became like that. This one he gave to a very big Rosh Shiva. The child is very heavy into learning. There is something that is supernatural that cannot be defined in words. Chassidus takes this concept, this is a basic principle in Chassidus, this concept, to the nth degree. And they go out of their way to construct a society where there's a shefa, there's a connection between the Kehila and their Rebbe. And you have to, of course, select a very holy person, and it can be extremely beneficial. Extremely beneficial. And it is. Look what they've accomplished. Look at the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Pile ploim. But Chas V'Shalom, it could be extremely dangerous also. It can be the other way. It can be very, very dangerous. In the Litvish world, they don't take risks. They don't like this mahalach. It's a dangerous mahalach.
They think it's supernatural.
There is something supernatural. It's they in the literature world is a it says what does it say in Pirkei Avos? Hemidu talmidim harbe. What does it mean hemidu? A Rebbe's goal is to cause your talmid to stand on his own. Okay, Rav Yosha Ber was very famous for this. This was one of his verlach. He said over all the time, hemidu a talmid would come to him with a shaila and he would say to the talmid, I am not answering your question. I gave you smicha. You answer the question on your own. The time has come for you to grow up, and learn how to lead your life. Don't rely on me. He'emidu, a goal of a Rebbe is he'emidu, to cause his students to stand on their own. Be an independent person. In the Hasidish world, they downplay this very, very much. No. You don't budge without the Rebbe. The Rebbe, whatever the Rebbe tells you to do, you do. The Rebbe tells you how much money to give me. The question is not should I jump, should I not jump? How high? Oh, but it says in the pasuk, it says in Perek, Hemidu talmidim harbe. Okay, there's a balance. Everything in life is a balance, and you have to just know where to put the line, where you draw the line. The Litvaks, they put the balance over here, and the Hasidim, they put the balance over here. Kol ha'omer David chata, eina ela toye. David is not a private citizen. David is Klal Yisrael. And David's problems is a reflection of Klal Yisrael's problems. Klal Yisrael was not behaving the way they should, and it was reflected in their melech. It wasn't David who was chayt. Don't shift the blame. When you go read the newspaper about some guy, he did a crime. Yeah, Menuvel, he did a crime. No, he did a crime. He's a private person. He is not responsible. No one looks up to him. He's an individual. David is Klal Yisrael. If David sinned, don't go blame David. Kol ha'omer David chata. Excuse me, you're the chayte. How dare you go blame David? You're the chayte. You're the one that sinned. In your life, you've done things just like what David did, and because you did it, you get away with it, because no one could care less about you. You're just a private person, but because you are represented by David, you believe in David, memela, it came out in David. But you're the cause. You're the one that caused David to sin. So don't go put your finger on David. Call him a David. Ein elatoye. You're the chayte. This is one of 100 perushim of understanding what it means. Call him a David chata. Now let's go to another. Once we're talking about, let's go to another. This is probably the most basic, elementary translation of these words. The way it's explained, call him a David chata. Ein elatoye means as follows: David, beyond a shadow of a doubt, sinned. I mean, the proof of the pudding is the whole sefer is David. You say Tachlin every single day. I mean, that's for a different chait, actually. David is no. You cannot ignore the fact that David did something that was horrific. What it means, kol oimer David chata, means technically, you can't get him on technicalities. That's all it means. David, you take him to Beis Din. David would say, I'm a tzaddik. Uriah gave her a get. Before you go to battle, that was the rule. You give your wife a get. Whether you give her a get, an absolute get from right now, or you give her a conditional get, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, he never came back home. He died. So she was divorced at the moment when I lived with her. Number two, Uriah, he was a mechutzif. He was a moirei b'malchus. He was loyal to Yoav. Yoav is the general. I'm the king. It's treason. It's treason. Remember what happened with Trump? With Trump, so the general, Flynn? Not Flynn.
Just go ahead and say it.
The story, I've got his name, the top military man, when Trump started getting a little excited at the end of his presidency, he called up his counterpart in China to tell him, listen, our president is a meshugana, and don't worry, If he pressed the button, don't worry. Don't nuke us because right. I'm not gonna follow orders. Right. Our president is a meshugana. So that's treason. Yeah. I mean, you live in a country that's corrupt as can possibly be. That's literally the textbook definition of treason. He's still in his job, right? In his job. What Hillary Clinton did. She broke into the Oval Office, if not mistaken. This is a million times worse than Watergate. Nothing, garnish, nothing. Okay, it's unbelievable. The corruption is off the charts. Yoav committed treason. I mean, Uriah committed treason. Uriah did the same thing that I just told you. He did. He said, David, I don't care what you say. I have my own Rebbe. My Rebbe is Yoav. Yoav wants me on the battlefield. I don't care what you have to say. Get lost. And we could assume that if this is the way he treated David now, he probably treated David like this all along. And maybe David let him get away with it until now. He didn't want to. So technically speaking, David did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. She was a divorced woman, and Yoav was a married b'malchus. So technically speaking, but tell me, in Shemayim, they're going to give you Shlishi? In Shemayim for this? No way, they'll throw you out of the Beis Medrash. They'll throw you out. You were mezana with an Eish HaSish. You were mezana with an Eish HaSish. There's Dinei Adam and Dinei Shemayim. There are morals. There are morals, there are values, there are things you just don't do. Are you allowed to play cards? Go to Atlantic City, Erev Yom Kippur? Are you allowed to go Erev Yom Kippur, get on the bus to Atlantic City and sit there the whole day, gamble away? Gamble away. Are you allowed to do this? It doesn't say anywhere in Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch that Erev Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to go to Atlantic City and gamble away. Or do worse. Do a lot worse than that in today's society. It doesn't say. Show me where it says in Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam, in any sefer in the whole gamut of Yadus. Show me where it says you're not allowed Erev Yom Kippur to go to a movie, go to a dirty movie, go to land. Where does it say? It's mutter. You know something? You're right. You're right. Doesn't say. But if you do this. Is this what it's all about? It's a call Oimer David Chata Ein Elatoya. You're mistaken. Show me in Shulchan Aruch where it says there is no technical avera.
But David sinned against Hashem, against no one else but Hashem.
But the whole Sefer Tehillim Chotasi. David said beferish. David said when Nasan Navi came to him, the first words that came off his lips was Chatasi. So what are you telling me, Kol Omer David Chata Ein Elatoya? By his own admission, he sinned. There are two different, this is a Musa Haskel for everything that we do in our lives. We always say, I do nothing wrong. What I do wrong? What I do wrong? Show me where I did wrong. I had a fight with someone, so I did this, I went and I did this. You're right, we cannot get you on technicalities. There's a legal loophole for everything. You can literally get away with murder today in halach. You just have to with a grama, with a shinui. You have to do, you know, there's always a way to get away. David got away, called Oymer David Chota, Ein Elatoya. You can't get him in Bez and Shalmata. But Bez and Shalmaila. They have a very different system. A very different system. And the only one that's able to judge in Shemayim is Hashem. And Hashem is Yoyre to the Soif, Daitoy Shalom. Even we don't know. We don't even know how, no one knows how their mind works. No one knows how they're influenced. It's impossible. We fool ourselves literally every second that we're good people and we're this and we're that. And there are real issues. There are real issues. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to judge these things. Okay, so I have two. What? Takanas. There were Takana weddings those days. It was lockdown. There was a lockdown.
It wouldn't have come to this.
What?
If there would have been a public wedding, it wouldn't have come to this.
You want to say we have to assume, first we have to, the number of details that are presented are very, very few. If we saw the videotape, it would be a whole different world. We don't, maybe there was a wedding. Who knows? I mean, it's not likely. If Uri's in battle, it's not likely there was a wedding. I really don't know. I have no idea. David Shulz, she was 3 years old, a little bit strange, right? 3-year-old girl?
Seven.
Basheva. Basheva.
Well, the Gemara ends off
and
says, don't get into it because it says she had
Shlomo
when she was
8.
Mark, you see what goes on in this world?
And
Gemara,
that's
so why you assume the entire population is like that?
Let's stop
take your
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Not on an exaggerated, not on something like this.
What kind of level?
And every person knows they could have done better. Because everyone knows that you have nisyonos, and when finally you cool down, you know, if I was really holding where I was holding, I should have behaved a little bit differently. The first mahalach is kol oimer dogem. We went through the two mahalachim in this maimer chazal. And they're not. These are also not very. They're not also very satisfying, but at least there's something to touch. Kol oimer David. It's not David who sinned. It's you who sinned, because David is your melech. There's a bond, and what you do affects him, and what he does affects you. And there's a tug of war between you and him, between the klal and the melech. And this is the whole chassidus is built on this prayer, on this yesoid. It's not you, it's not he who sinned. You're the one who sinned. If Klal Yisrael is not behaving the way they should, it mimele, it comes out in the behavior of their melech. Pshat number two, Kol Omer David Chata, David did not do anything technically wrong. You can never, in Beis Din, he will win flying colors. But deep down in Shamayim, David, listen, this woman here is not your wife. She's married to someone else. She's waiting for her husband to come home. She's worried he'll die in war. What are you doing taking her? Can you get it? Can you go? Can you punish him in court? Never. Not even in the best court. The most honest legal court, you can't get him on any violation of law. But it's not erlich. It's not proper. This is not a derech of a shomer Torah or mitzvahs to do something like this. By the goyim, they do all these crazy things. Man eat man. What goes on in the business world, stories that I hear, what goes on is earth shattering. And then it gets to a point where this one, you can't even survive in business. You can't survive in business if you don't behave this matter. You'll be cut out in a second. Okay, it's like I remember my father's Chalav Racha. He had a student in YU, and he was working for a company. And then he came to my father. My father was very into business ethics. And I told my father what the company does, how they make money. And it bothers him. And he came and said, is it okay to really work for this company? Like, this is their modus operandi. So my father was horrified what he heard. He said, get out of that place so fast. This is not a place for a yeshiva boy. It's not. I used to work for a tikkuf when I was in teaching in college. For a tikkuf, I was doing marketing. I got to learn the business, the inside business of internet marketing. It's all fraud. The whole business is trying to convince people to buy things that they don't need. And the techniques, it's amazing, the techniques of marketing online, from beginning to end, is all cheating. People, they spend so much money, and all these programs where you monitor what everyone else is doing, all of their very intense hard work, in order to take their hard work. Oh, if this person was able to put up this advertisement for 10 weeks and still advertising, it must mean he's making money. So now just copy it. Copy it. Don't no shame. You don't have to go and change even a letter. You copy it exactly. Who's stopping you? I mean, the ethics. That's a tibush abayam of what goes on. It's shocking. Mom is shocking. And this is acceptable. There's no morals. There are no ethics. It's just man eat man. Did I do anything wrong? Are there any laws in place? There's no laws. You do whatever you want. Maybe one day they'll come, they'll make a law, that you'll find a legal loophole to outsmart that law as well. There's always going to be a kunz. Is it ethical? Is it the right thing to do, to go and take advantage of someone else's vulnerability and steal and undercut him after he puts in enormous effort and work? We know what Amazon does, Meisim Bechol Yom, but I know people that are there. A person in Lakewood, he made a product. He came up with an idea. Something about children. I forgot what exactly he told me. And he went to China, it's before COVID, and he found a factory. And they manufactured this product and they put on Amazon, he was raking it in. It was doing phenomenally well. Amazon themselves, all the statistics, they see, oh, this guy is doing very well. So Amazon went to the company, the factory that made that product, and told that factory, make this for us. What is it called? Yeah, there are a lot of Amazon products. It's cool. There are a lot of products on Amazon. They make themselves now. You can go buy Amazon batteries, all the electronic equipment they make. They have their own, a lot of things. And they went to the same factory that he made this product, and they told, just make the same thing for us and make a lot more. And because we own Amazon, so we'll have it ranked when someone types in, their product will come up because it's a great product. The proof is this person is making millions of dollars. So why should he make the $1 million? We'll make the millions of dollars. We'll make it ourselves, and we'll make even more. And we don't have to pay all the shipping fees because we own the fulfillment center. And we can manipulate the search results on the website. So this person, all of a sudden, he started losing an enormous amount of money. Or you can go to court. There's someone to talk to. There's no one to talk to. There's no court, there's no law.
All day, every day.
Every day. There's no law. You have a complaint against us, we'll shut down your account. Get lost. That's what goes on. They used to have these seminars of how to make money by selling products on Amazon. Problem is, a lot of people did this and they got burnt big time because when anyone became successful, someone just stole it from them. So technically, what'd you do wrong? Kol Oimer Amazon Choto? Eina Ela Toya. Try to take them to court. There's no one to talk to. In Shemayim, is this the right thing to do? Is this a derech? Not a derech. Know who you're talking to. Kiatem Hama'at Mikolam. There's ethics, no ethics in this world. It's very hard to survive. I know someone who he hated rich people. He said, it's impossible to be rich unless you're a ganef. Impossible. It's impossible. Impossible. Anyone that's rich is a god. It cannot be. There's no such thing. No such thing in this world. Is he right or wrong? I have no idea. What? Okay. Halavai. He's wrong. Okay. So this is called Ema David Chata Eina Ele Toya. So let's learn at least a few psalm over here. I'll read this page over here very quickly. Then we're going to stop. Let's say Mizmar Le David. Bivoy Elov Noson Hanavi Kasher Bo. The pasuk is graphic. It's a very graphic pasuk. I don't know if your children will be able to teach this to you. Maybe we're not old enough. It's Kasher Bo, Kasher Bo El Bas Shova. It's very interesting. Her name over here is called Bas Shova, not Bas Sheva. It's not a kash, like Ephraim. At the end of the pasuk, it always goes from a good morning, Shabbos, Shalom.
It's not graphic. It doesn't say al.
It says kasher bo el basheva. Let's see what the mitzvah says. What does the mitzvah says? It says bevo lehoychichoy bedvar Hashem kishabo el basheva. Okay, you're right. What does Rashi say? There is no Rashi. What does the Radak say? Oh, you see that uncle is very good. Okay, the targum. Okay, kad also levosei nosan anavi kad shamesh, explicit. Okay, kad shamesh im bas shova. In the Gemara, in the Talmudic terms, it's a graphic term. So is it, you say anything good, maybe who says that's what it means in the pasuk, but in Echnami, the uncle is talking, Targum Taka says this. Okay, next pasuk,
choneni lekim. That shows
that Rashi disagrees. Rashi is silent, there is no Rashi here. Who says? First of all, Rashi.
He agrees with the
Rashi does no. Rashi Lachor did not see. I don't know if he saw this targum. Who wrote this targum? When was it written? Who wrote it? Who says that Rashi even Rashi never quotes the targum in Ksuvim? Never. Rashi in this week's parasha quotes the targum about 100 times. But Unkelus. But he quotes a targum. Yonason here and there. But in Ksuvim, there's no targum in Ksuvim. There's no such thing. This is someone wrote this, and it's very holy. It's very interesting, but it's not. There's not the league of Unkelus or Targum Yonason. Okay, let's go further. Bevoy, Kasha Bar, Pasuk Gimel, Choneini Elokim, show me favor. It's a hard word to translate. Chen is the most difficult word in Tanakh to translate. Chen. Matnaschin, the Gemara gives like five perushim what it means. Choneini Elokim kichastecha, favor me according to your kindness. Kiroi v'rachamecha, like the abundance of your rachamim, michei v'sho'oi, erase my transgression. Explicitly, David says, I have sinned. Herev kabseini, now, herev means an abundance. Herev kabseini me'avoini. You have to put me in the washing machine and turn it to the highest setting for the longest amount of time with all these settings on the washing machine. I don't know if any of the men here know what a washing machine is. But all of the high settings, wash me. What do you say? Ouch? What do you say, Mark? No. That was stinging. Okay, Herev, kapseini me avoini, umechatosi tahareini. Cleanse me from my avoin and my chait, purify me. Three words. Look at this. David over here says, I've committed an avoin, a pesha, and a chait. So, kol oimer David ein el chaita can mean, what are you talking about? It says that David, by his own admission, exhibit A, I did a chait, I committed a pesha, I committed an avoin, and I need to go through a very complex process of pure, of a tyra. I'm well aware of my sin. V'chatasi negdi, something is before me continuously. Continuously. This says it all. His entire life. This haunted him for his entire life. It's impetuous. There's an impetuousness here. To go chap. It's a very big problem. The chap. People have this midah to chap. Hatsinuim moishchim yideyim. Okay, I went once to Achnosa Sefer Torah. I went this week, and it was a mob scene, and everyone was lining up there, lining up to write a dat in the letter. So there was a person that I said to him, "Don't you also want to go?" So he said to me, "Hatsenuim moishchem yideihem." It says there by the kohanim. On Shabbos, when they distributed the lechem upon him, if you tasted a teeny mash of the lechem upon him, you probably, you would live forever. It was a magic. You eat the lechem upon him, to eat a piece of lechem upon him. So all the kohanim, they gathered around, and they made a pious. I don't know, remember the whole story, to get the lechem upon him, to get a shtickle, the tsunuim, the kohanim that were discreet, people that had deep yirah shemayim, they didn't push, give me, I also want a little piece of the lechem upon him. Moishchin yideihem, they withdrew, so I won't get, the world will go on. If Hashem wants me to live and be healthy, I'll live and be healthy. Tsunuim moishchin yideihem, and everything in life. So you don't get to write a letter in the Sefer Torah. No, don't worry. If you're a maimon and you're a shemaim, the world goes on without your little dot in the Sefer Torah. David, the chait was a chait of techap. There's a woman on the roof. Beautiful woman. There is a midah that it's a lifelong battle, is to be moishchin es yideim. He chapped. And this is something that the person has to be on guard his entire life. Keep push. I go to a wedding. What's all the pushing? Everyone has to get into the chasen, to go dance with the chasen. They're pushing. So what happens if you don't dance with the chasen? What happens? Makes a difference. So your hearing will be a little bit better next. Hatsnuim moishchin yideyen. The chait of Basheva was a chait of chapping. And again, David represents Klal Yisrael. It's a lifelong struggle. You know, everything has to be in its right time. As I call also yofe beitoy. Cleanse me a lot. These are the process of teshuva. I have regret, I have remorse. To remember it and to be worried. Rashi, both Rashi and the Mitzudos use these two words, charata and daiga. I regret and I'm worried. Two completely different concepts. To have regret, just because you have regret doesn't mean that it bothers you. And sometimes something bothers you, but you don't regret it. There's too much gaiva to regret it. But it bothers you. To be able to have this knockout combination to regret and should bother you, that shows you have Yerushalay. Shani mischoret v'doyeg olav doymeli ki iluhu lefonai tomit kol sho'ah. And he's asking Hashem merit for his neshama in the next world. Okay, we'll take a short break and we'll do some chumash in a few moments. Or a Pinchas Hirschberg. He went to my great grandfather. He asked him, should he run away? Should he run away? My great grandfather says, I don't know. I don't know what to do. You know who sent him? Rabbi Chaim Oizer sent him to my great grandfather to ask him the dilemma, should he run away from your run away? Where to go? And my great grandfather told him, I don't know. Wow. I don't know.
This is when?
This is in the middle of the war. What? Not everyone was able to go. You needed a visa.
How did he go to Canada?
He went privately. He didn't go with the Mir Yeshiva. He joined with them later, I think.
He was in Vilna, and he didn't know what to do.
He went to Chaim Oizer, and the book it says.
But then he went on his own to Canada. How do you get a